It is a real joy to be with my family who are here together with me from around California. I'm very excited to be with them and to be with our church family from here and other churches. Very thankful for what God is doing and moving throughout His church around the world to bring revival, to bring reformation, to bring the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'm looking forward to the last days. They're going to be awful. They're going to be wonderful. God has a huge, huge, beautiful plan. As we served Him overseas, my wife and I, we saw the years fly by. We went two different times, once to Cambodia, fresh out of college. I grew up here in Northern California in Ukiah, had no thought of being in the mission field, wanted to work, as God got a hold of my heart, in San Francisco, among the homeless, among the people on the streets. But God had a plan to send us onto the other side of the world, to Cambodia, and later then to Thailand with the Buddhist Study Center with the General Conference. As we reached out to the poorest of the poor in those areas, and then to those who'd never had a chance to know Jesus, our hearts grew to love the Christ of the cross and His deep love for the lost more and more. And in a real sense, we didn't want to come back to America. But our children were getting older, and our parents were getting older, and time went by, and we felt it was time to return. But to what? We spoke Cambodian. We spoke Thai. Why should we return here? The mission field was over there. But God had some things to show us. And at a youth convention in Houston, Texas, as we went door to door, we heard many young people talking about what they had experienced. And one of them said, I ran into a lady who said, Vietnamese, no English, and I didn't know what to do. Another young person said, well, I ran into a lady who had a hijab. She was Muslim, and she said, no, Muslim, no thank you, and I didn't know what to say. And it began to dawn in our minds that God had brought the world next door, that refugees, immigrants, international students had come to the United States, tourists, business travelers, they were here all around us, and they were from many of those countries, those people groups that we were waiting on for Jesus to return. So we began to pray, Lord, what do you want us to do? We considered pastoring, we considered teaching, trying to figure out what to do. And God put it on our heart to begin a ministry with ASAP Ministries of helping people to reach out to those who are different from them, who speak another language, who have a different religion, a different culture. And that began with about a year's time right here in California so we could be close to family and our daughter could begin college. As we did that, actually right before we left Thailand, a young girl who we had befriended, who had babysat our children, came up to us. Her name was Supin, and she was from the little Mien tribe up in the mountains of Thailand. One of those places that Adventist Frontier Missions had sent two couples, the Dills and Brian and Dewey Wilson. They had learned the language. They had spent years studying so that they could reach people who had never been reached. And some of the Mien tribe came to Christ, including, as the first family, Supin. So Supin said to us as we were about to leave Thailand, I'm going to miss you guys, but at least you'll be over there where my older sister is. She got married to someone from America, a Mien from America, and she went to live there with him. And we said, okay, well, what's her address? We'll go see her if we can. Oh, I don't know. I'm not sure where she lives. But when you see her, please tell her hi for me. Her hill tribe mentality there could not quite picture the vastness of the United States of America. We laughed like you did. Until my daughter's boyfriend came to visit, and my daughter said, I really want to take him to Thai food. Let's go down the hill and find a restaurant. We hadn't been to anywhere in America. We knew it wouldn't taste quite as good as back over there in Thailand. But we looked it up, and sure enough, there was one in Auburn. So we drove down the hill to go to the Thai restaurant. As we walked in the door, someone looked up and said, Ajahn Scott? Teacher Scott? And I looked at her and I said, what? And there was a thin waitress there looking at us, and she said, Pi Supin, Supin's my sister. And we just threw our arms around her and hugged her tight. I encourage you to pray for her because she needed Jesus. She needed to return to the God who had sent missionaries clear over there and now was sending somebody across her path again to invite her to return to church. We were able to get to know her, her husband, who was not a Christian, and her two young children. I invite you to, one more time, ask God to be with people like her. Father, we lift up to you May, who is here yet in the Sacramento area, who continues to battle with this new jungle, this concrete jungle, where it's so difficult to live and to survive, but difficult in a different way. Continue to call her heart towards you and reach the Mian tribe, scattered so many people here in the Sacramento area, along with the many others that we speak about today. Come, give us your love for them that is so determined, so interested, that you will work miracles like that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. How important is this to Jesus? The story we just heard a moment ago in Mark chapter 11 helps us to know clearly that this matters deeply to him. In Mark chapter 11, we just heard the words about one of Jesus' most strange acts as he walks into the temple courtyard. He sees a marketplace. It's not just a little marketplace. It's not just like where you buy vegetables. This is a place more like a cattle yard where they are auctioning animals. No, maybe they're not auctioning animals, giving you a choice of how much to pay, because they've already marked how much these sheep, these goats, these cows will cost. And it is a highly marked up price. First, you have to bring, as a foreigner coming from some other place, perhaps Jews who've been scattered into other countries are coming back on pilgrimage. But not just Jews, there are others passing through, Romans, Greeks, because Jerusalem is a central thoroughfare. And they are there, perhaps curious, perhaps also to make a little profit on what's going on. The money must be changed because only the temple coin is pure enough to buy the sheep. And those sheep, they must be pure enough, so most likely the one you carried all your way that you have raised for this very purpose, and it's all you have left, is probably not quite pure enough. It has become a racket. And as Jesus walks in, he sees that God's people have taken God's temple and turned it into a profit for themselves. Not merely that, but have done it in such a way that the poor don't know what to do. Confused because their lamb is not good enough, their money is not good enough, and they are out of funds to do something different. This is the context within which Jesus walks in and begins to turn over tables. Though he strikes no one, we are told that that whip in his hand looked like a sword. We are told that this loving Jesus who would put his hand on lepers and welcome them close, who would welcome tax collectors, prostitutes to sit down and eat with him, now looks like a judge on his throne. And the people are terrified. The words ring out, is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves. Jesus was disturbed to the point of action. Surely he had seen it before. Surely he had understood what had happened to the temple. But now, by the Spirit of God upon him, he must make a statement not of anger, though a righteous anger is appropriate, but not a temper tantrum coming out, but the call of God on his heart to show people what must take place in the human temple, what must take place among his people, that whatever is separating them from glorifying God and showing to the world a sacrifice of grace and mercy, a gift of free love, must replace this religious system of works and selfishness. And so he moves and acts. And the people run. They run terrified. This is the movement of God out of love for who? Well, as we look at the slides, I want to bring you to another picture, another window into the heart of God, into what is happening that is comparable to what we've just read. And then we'll come back to the story. You've perhaps heard of the 1040 window. For the last 20, 30 years, this picture, this way of looking at the world has been shared by missiologists around the world. 1040 means 10 degrees above the equator to 40 degrees above the equator, stretching from Africa, North Africa, across the Middle East, through India, and into Southeast Asia. What is this for? Obviously, it's an imaginary window. It doesn't exist out there, but it is a picture, a opening into the most unreached parts of the world. Think Islam, Hinduism, and Buddhism, and Judaism. These are the places that they reside, the place that have the least amount of people who are followers of Christ. Not only that, this is where the poorest of the poor live. If you want to know who are the unreached, they are the poor. If you want to know who the poor are, they are those who do not know Christ. They are there in India, 1.2 billion unreached people in 2,289 people groups. Yes, if you meet somebody and you ask them, what language do you speak? Oh, I'm from India, I speak Hindi, Gujarati, Punjabi, Tamil, and another one you wouldn't recognize. Like in Myanmar, where we have visited more than India, you go up one side of the mountain and they speak a certain language. They bury the dead one way and they marry in a certain way. But when you hit the top of the hill and start going down the other side, they speak a different language and marry and bury differently. And so they need a unique gospel witness in their heart language. When we are told that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, it is not country nations that is spoken of by Jesus there. The word is ethne, more like our word ethnicity, and it means people groups that need to hear the gospel. As we think of what Hindus face, as they contemplate the cycle of what they believe life is, birth, life, death, birth, life, death. And they take that to assume that a person is reborn, reincarnated according to what they lived previously, then they look and see suffering as the direct results of what that person previously did. And they know if that is them, that they must pay their dues fully before they can have something better. Into that midst, God is wanting to bring the joy of the merciful forgiver who has borne all of their suffering and made it so they don't need to pay through many lives their karma back, but can receive his forgiveness in a moment and be with God for eternity. And then there's Pakistan. The second largest population of unreached people in the entire world is there in 386 people groups, distinct, different, and in need of the gospel. Afghanistan, with 42 million people, 68 unreached people groups, and 99.9% Muslim. They need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Many precious Buddhists, Muslims sincere in their worship of the living God, of the Creator God, trying to understand and comprehend who Jesus is, who the Quran teaches them as a born of a virgin, blessed by God, great prophet, someone to be respected, but not fully understanding who he is and why or if he died on the cross. They need to know the love of God, that he is a merciful Father and has found the way to secure their eternal salvation through Jesus. What do we do about all these people? These millions of people across the world, how long will it take? As I've flown over India and Thailand, different places, I've just cried out, God, what is it going to take to finish the work? Not just another baptism, not just another church planted, but Jesus' return. And we know the answer is in Jesus' words in Acts 1, verse 8. It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. But what does that mean when we pray for it? What is going to happen? What should we be watching for and looking for? In Evangelism, page 570, we are given one of the clear strategies that God has given us for finishing the work. We should be able to see in the multiplying opportunities to reach many foreigners in America a divinely appointed means of rapidly extending the third angel's message into all the nations of earth. Contemplate that with me. Do you want Jesus to come soon? How soon? We want it to be rapid. This is a means by the people he has brought to America and other countries, other cities around the world, like Amsterdam and Sydney, Australia. God in his providence has brought men, she continues, as it were to our very doors and thrust them into our arms that they might hear the truth and be qualified to do a work we could not do in getting the light before men of other tongues. Can you go to Afghanistan today as a missionary? How about Somalia, Sudan? No, but some of them can. If not in person, by their phones, calling their relatives and neighbors, their friends, to share with them the gospel that they have found here. Yes, God has planted them in Sacramento. At least 20 people we have seen in our prayer time with these cards, which you can also find online at Reach the World Next Door under Get Involved Sacramento. These are the people he has brought to us, and they are very precious. But enough of statistics, enough of millions, even billions. What about that one precious refugee? Because many of them come here not because they wanted to, but because they had to. Like my friend, I'll call him Jakob instead of his real name, because even still today, it is not always safe for an Afghan or others in America to be known as connected to a Christian. Jakob and his family are one of the most handsome, beautiful Afghani families we have met. We work in Houston with Afghan refugees and other immigrants, helping to call people and train church members to reach out as we're doing here today. And Jakob and his family happened to walk across the park as we were doing a children's program out there near the Afghan apartments. He saw what we were doing. We walked towards him. We were friendly. And then we invited him to bring his four children to the park to enjoy the time together. How they enjoyed it. They felt welcomed. They felt loved, not even so much by the children's program, but by a friendly American having a conversation with them. We continued the friendship, and the next Thanksgiving, as my mom came to visit and we were together, they were there enjoying this unique kind of food, bringing some of their desserts as well. And then they got a phone call on his phone, FaceTime, with his brother back in Afghanistan. Thanksgiving wasn't so happy anymore because his brother was being tortured to try to reveal where Jakob had hid ammunition that the American government had left behind, which he had never done. Of course, he had not been able to do that or done it, but they were torturing his brother because they knew he was in America and most likely had some money or had some knowledge. This went on for 2 or 3 weeks until his brother's health was crushed and he was sent to the hospital. It became so much more real to me than it often is, even in speaking about it and working among people. For here was my friend with his brother back there in desperate trouble. Praise God, he survived. But they just decided, the brother can go. We'll just take your house instead, Jakob. And now they own and inhabit his home. He's lost everything. Came to America just with a few bags. This man who had almost become a general in the army over there. Many times they struggle. Their marriage struggles. Now it's doing better, praise God, with some ongoing love and support. Their children are flourishing in school. People in America have reached out and embraced them. And when I was last there, I was able to place a Bible in his hands and care and love and pray with him. So we have 108.4 million people around the world. that's one out of every 80 people in our world, is no longer able to live at home. 43.3 million of those are children. And God says to us in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 17 to 19, "For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality nor takes a bribe. He administers justice for the fatherless and the widow and loves the stranger, giving him food and clothing. Therefore, brothers and sisters, love the stranger." Amen. This is his call to our hearts. It's not just once in the Old Testament. In fact, after the command to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, it is the most repeated commandment in the Bible. Did you catch that? At least 36 times it tells us to love the widow, the orphan, and the stranger, or just the stranger specifically. Take a picture of that if you want, or just search in a concordance for the word stranger and begin to explore the huge migration in Scripture. So here they are, around us, everywhere, like in the temple court, in Jerusalem, as they thronged from all over the place. As the Scriptures say, they were dwelling there, devout men of every nation under heaven. They are here too. And what is in our way of them? I don't know, maybe there is someone who speaks one of the languages on our cards here, but most likely there's very few. More than 60% of Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, and Muslims in America, do not have a Christian friend. That's a problem for God's people. We have something in our way. Ellen White tells us in Desire of Ages, page 161, that the courts of the temple at Jerusalem, filled with the tumult of unholy traffic, represented all too truly the temple of the heart, defiled by the presence of sensual passion and unholy thoughts. In cleansing the temple from the world's buyers and sellers, Jesus announced his mission to cleanse the heart. To cleanse the heart from the defilement of sin, from the earthly desires, the selfish lusts, the evil habits that corrupt the soul. The Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Jesus came back then. Jesus has come in the heavenly temple to his most holy place ministry now. And in great controversy, we are told that he came there for the purpose of cleansing our hearts from not only some impurities of what we do and don't do, but from the deeper impurity of selfishness, to make us compassionate, as Malachi 3, which speaks of this very passage, says, he comes to cleanse us from the sin of neglecting the stranger in our midst. Wow. You mean this last days, this last time since Jesus has begun cleansing the heavenly temple? He's trying to cleanse his church from the things that keep the Gentiles from coming into the court of the Gentiles? Yes, yes. Jesus was so passionate about this because he knew in that mess, that loud noise, the Gentiles could not hear. And so he calls us to be his light among the people. There are so many of us who know the Savior already in America. But unlike Guatemala, where we just visited, where 1 out of 100 people is a Seventh-day Adventist. Come on up. In the place of MENA, Middle East, North Africa Union, a special place that the church has set aside as its own special union. Because why? Because 1 out of 99,000 people is a Seventh-day Adventist. We have a call to go to those places that have never yet had a chance to hear. And we must ask ourselves, Lord, what's blocking us from being able to reach out to them? Since 96% of the unreached are in that 1040 window, who we've now seen are also the immigrants and refugees who have come to us. But only 1 out of 10 missionaries ends up in that area. And only 1 penny of a dollar given to missions, this is the Christian world worldwide, not a specific Seventh-day Adventist statistic, but we're not far behind. One penny out of a dollar given to missions actually ends up within the unreached. We must strategically find how we cannot be that den of thieves spoken and predicted in Malachi 3, 1 through 5, and can instead turn our hearts to those who have nothing, like the precious 13,800 who will die today, who are under the age of 5, because they had diarrhea, because they had pneumonia, because there was some birth complication, or just hunger. It's like 35 jumbo jets crashing today. We would hear about that. But we won't hear about this other today. We won't even think about it as we have three good feasts today. And so he calls us to come. And he comes and he does this. He says, my church, my people, let me cleanse your heart. I don't want you to run away from my presence, but this is why I must. In Desire of Ages, it continues, when they fled, the poor remained behind. The people pressed into Christ's presence with urgent, pitiful appeals. Master, bless me. His ear heard every cry. With pity exceeding that of a tender mother, he bent over the suffering little ones. All received attention. Everyone was healed of whatever disease he had. The dumb opened their lips in praise. The blind beheld the face of their restorer. The hearts of the sufferers were made glad. Desire of Ages 163. Today he wants to do that again through his people, to give them an opportunity to know Jesus. But because they won't walk in here, he must take us out there. I've invited Julie to share for the next few minutes, how specifically, practically, you can put shoes on the feet of the people next door. Take this, keep it up high. Keep it up high.
We have been a part of a ministry to Afghani refugees for the last 5 years in Houston, Texas. And we were doing the children's programs right there at the apartment complex, and we would get like 100. They would just bring them all down. They would see us coming, and they would come down to the courtyard, and we would have a Rise High program for the kids. But then when COVID happened, they shut us down, and they said, you can't do this. There's too many kids, and you've got to stop. But we knew that we didn't want to stop, and so we took it to the closest park, a place where they could actually walk to. And we lost a lot of kids because we made sure that one of the parents had to come with them. One day, this was just a couple months ago, our club ministries, our Pathfinder Club and our Adventure Club was at that park, and we were debriefing with the volunteers afterwards, and we were praying in the parking lot, and one of the Afghani friends came up to me and she said, I want to introduce you to this new friend of mine from Afghanistan. She just arrived a couple days ago, and she has nothing but what she was able to stuff in her backpack and what she's wearing. Do you have any clothes for her? And just 5 minutes before, in the parking lot, before we started debriefing and praying with the volunteers, Lynn, one of our volunteers, shoved a big box of clothes in my back of the van, and she said, these are for the refugees. And so when I said, I don't know, but let's look. And as soon as I said a quiet prayer and I opened up the trunk and I said, Lord, please help this to fit her. And I reached out. There was a beautiful leather purse. And then I saw a beautiful pair of Liz Claiborne new sandals. And I showed them to her. She slipped her foot. This is a picture of her. She slipped her foot in that new sandal, and her sober face instantly had this beautiful smile on her face. And we kept going through the box, and there was clothes perfectly that fit her, and there was even some clothes for her children, her three children. I can tell you, when you start doing this ministry, that God does amazing things just like that. He will put you in a divine appointment with someone, and you will be so amazed at how how God had his hand, and he does this every time, and he just wants us to be willing to take our church programs and take them out of the church building. Sometimes we're confined in the church. And when we have such beautiful programs, whether it's Pathfinders, whether it's Vacation Bible School, take it to the park. And you will see that you will have, instead of just, you know, a handful of your own children, which is wonderful, and a few others from the neighborhood, you could have 100 children loving and enjoying the crafts and the activities and hearing the story of Jesus. So I want to encourage us as a church around North America that we don't do business in the same way that we've been doing it. Amen. For the last, since the Adventist church started. That we take it to where the people are. The evangelistic meetings that we spend time praying for and spend thousands of dollars, and we're excited about maybe 11 people that come besides the church members, and we're praising God, and we are praising God. But if we take it to the apartment complex or to the nearest park where they can walk to and hear the gospel, I can tell you that they will listen and you will have a congregation. I know it may not start with an evangelistic meeting, but it can get there in small groups. But it starts with befriending them and starting to be friends with them. And once they know that you trust them, I mean, that you have their best interest at heart, then they're going to want to know about your God. And I know with our program, we have 60 in our Adventure Club, and they're all Afghani children. And we have 20 in the Pathfinder Club. And the mothers are sitting, they have I'll show you pictures. Yes, you can show. This is the promise that I read during the prayer time, and I want to just read it again. The Lord can do more in 1 hour than we can do in a whole lifetime. And when he sees that his people are fully consecrated, this great work will be done in a short time. And the message of truth will be carried into the dark places of the earth where it has not been proclaimed. Mm-hmm. And I believe that when he says shortly, it's going to happen because of the promise that Pastor Scott read, that they're here. They're here now, and they're where we are. We have, I don't know how many churches across Sacramento, but it's possible that we reach the 20 unreached people groups in this city, isn't it?
Amen.
If we all took one family, or we prayed and we put this on our refrigerator, and every time we open the door to get some almond milk or some stuff in your refrigerator, you looked at this prayer card and you prayed for them until you found them in your classroom, in your neighborhood, at the nail shop, the donut shop. You will find all of these people groups in different places, in our workplaces, and we pray for them until we see a small group among them worshiping Jesus and learning about our Savior. Yesterday, when we were here last night, one of the ladies asked, how do you find them? How do you even begin? You start by praying, because God's going to show you. God will show you where they are. But there's also, you can go to peoplegroups.org, or you can go to Reach the World Next Door.
That's the best place.
And you can find who is in your neighborhood, who is in your city. And we've already done that work for you on these, because it tells you who's in your city. But you find out who is in your city, and you find out where they're going to. Where are the newly arrived refugees? Where are they placing them? And you go to those apartments. This is the one that we work at. And you talk with the people at the office. You tell them you would like to do a food distribution or a diaper drive. And they will be happy, because they want their residents happy and serviced. And so you send them a flyer. They're happy to put it in everybody's mailbox. And you You get churches, volunteers, and this shows the volunteers. We have 75 Seventh-day Adventist churches in Houston. And so we have about 16 churches that represent the ministry that we're doing, and we want to have all 75 eventually. That's God's plan. But this is, and then you just start small. You start, sit in the gazebo, have some crayons, talk with the children, tell them to come down and play. We're going to have a story, and they come. It's unbelievable how you will be flocked with children. And or you do blood pressure cuff, or you just, this is in the parking lot. This is one of our volunteers just fixing a bike, getting to know the young man. You can keep going faster. Get your community service focused on the unreached. Have them bring their truck down to where the apartment complexes are. This has happened multiple times, and they're happy. They have so much in the warehouse. They just need to get it out. And so take it not to the churches so much, but have the trucks come to the apartment complex and work with the office, and they will be happy. And before you know it, you will be in their homes, and you'll be visiting with them. They love, it's an honor for you to eat with them, to listen to their stories, to just be their friend and to be there teaching them English, helping them find a job. This is one of them teaching English to the ladies, and there's always such a need for this kind of ministry. This is sorting distribution. This is distribution day, and we just took it. This is taking furniture to newly arrived refugees. So there's just much you can do to help the gospel go forward to the ones that God has brought to Sacramento. And then this is part of, excuse me, go back. This is our kids programs in the park. So that's just a little bit of different things that you can do as a church family. This is the Afghani moms. We usually have snacks, but the mom snacks are a lot nicer. They're nuts and dates, and we treat the moms a little bit different than the kids. And then if we have enough volunteers, then we have volunteers sitting with the moms, talking with them, trying to help. They show us pictures. We try to communicate with them. This is sharing at Christmas time with a family. So God wants us to step out and to see the needs around us, and God will pour out his Spirit.
So one of the big questions that people have and that we've had in the past is, but what if you don't speak the same language? We have Spanish-speaking friends who say, but I can't speak English. We have English-speaking friends who say, but I can't speak Dari, Farsi. What do we do? We have a website that we want to share with you that Julie's going to talk about for a few moments here and this afternoon that we will practice using so you can feel confident to be able to share it and help in over
180 languages. If you go out that door, there's a table, a Reach the World Next Door table, and we're a project under ASAP Ministries, and there's a whole stack of these. Take them. Put them in your pocket, in your purse. Pray that God will show you someone, lead you to someone who speaks a language other than what you know. And then you can share this card with them. It's a website that is a portal to everything that we can that is Seventh-day Adventist. It's got the Bible, the Spirit of Prophecy, the Jesus movie. It has AWR, Hope Channel, things out in the Union, the divisions, missions that are overseas. They give us their Bible studies, whatever. It's a portal where it just is a funnel for everything that we know of that can help bless people that are of other languages. There's children's material, health on this. Get to know this card so you know how to use it. We come today, this afternoon, and we'll share more about this card. But if you take the phone and you can actually share it to their web to help them to find it, and they can share it on their home screen. And we'll do this with you this afternoon. But I want to just tell a quick story at the about this. I was at the park, and I was sitting on the bench next to a lady who was wearing a hijab. And so I went over and I sat next to her and I said, hello. And she couldn't even say hello back, so I knew she was new. And right about that time, her daughter, who is a physician in Houston, said, oh, my mom is just visiting for 2 weeks. She doesn't know English. And so I, from Pakistan. So I thought, okay, she's from Pakistan. So I went to my phone, and I went to mlml.org, and I clicked on the Jesus movie in Urdu. And I put it over to her. Urdu is Pakistani language. And I put it over to her, and I put it up close enough so she could hear that it's in her language. And as soon as it dawned on her that this was in her language, she literally took the phone from my hand, and for the next 45 minutes on the park bench, we watched the Jesus movie together in Urdu.
Amen.
And I wasn't going anywhere. I was just praying for her the whole time. And before she left, I gave her two more. I had two more in my pocket, and I gave them to her. And it's 99% Muslim in Pakistan. And so I pray that as that mother goes back to Pakistan, she now knows the story of Jesus, and she can be a missionary because she has two of these.
Just praise God. It's not quite that percentage. That's over in Afghanistan or something like that. There are a growing number of Christians in Pakistan, but for many of them, they are persecuted. There's ministry that ASAP does among Pakistani refugees right in Bangkok. And so the percentages there are a little higher, but it is that place, that country with so many unreached people groups. This is something that you can do, that you children, as we were talking about earlier, about rescuing people in trouble, that you can do as you take the cards, like this little young man who's been doing it since he was really tiny. He carries those cards around. But if you're missing your card, you can always show them on your phone. So thank you so much, Julie, for sharing. Thank you for making it super practical. It is beautiful to see, and we'd love to have you be able to hear more about it. There are a lot of videos and short paragraphs that we send out by email that you can hear from ASAP Ministries and our specific program with Reach the World Next Door by using this little paper that should be in your bulletin. So take a look now. If you have your bulletin and you got one as you came in, open it up. There's so many announcements of good things happening at this church, but look for the paper that looks like this. And I'm going to just review and wrap it up and ask the Lord to bless this church and others who are here from other churches and those listening online to take what we've been talking about today and to take action. Jesus saw the things that were blocking God's people from sharing his love with his other people of other folds that he was seeking to bring in from around the world. And today we've been challenged by Jesus' example to look at our lives and say, what's in between me and the Gentiles, the nations, that he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. So I want you to be praying right now, Lord, speak to my heart. What is blocking? What is keeping me from being part of the finishing of your work so that wars can cease to the ends of the age? Got a call just last night from one of my dear friends that we've been trying to help for the last 2 years to get his family out of Afghanistan into this neighboring country. Now they're stuck there. They've been there for a year and a half. We've been able to provide for them, keep them safe, but now that is being shut down. They're not able to stay in that safe house anymore. And they are there on the border trying to figure out what's next. Do we go back into Afghanistan where we risk being killed because we worked for the U.S. military? Or is there somehow going to be an open door? We want to see these things finished and completed. And so I'm appealing to you to think clearly, what is God calling you to do? It's going to be different for each of us. But take out your pen, a pencil, find something there. If you do not have one of these papers in your hand, if you're online or you're here in the pews, I encourage you to take a picture of this QR code and fill out this form, a similar form online, and share your response right there at reachtheworldnextdoor.com. If you can't somehow get this picture and get there, You can go to where it says share your response for getting involved, or you can find a way to send us an email, because we want to be able to support you and encourage you and pull together network. Our elder James Lim from the conference office was here last night. He said, I can't be with you today, but please let me know so that we can partner together across the Sacramento area to make a huge difference as the churches come together. What can you do? You can pray, as Julie has led us so strongly and beautifully today. Go to those places, go to the areas that are in need, pray for them. Pray for them in your regular prayer meetings and devotional times. We have been promised, but what are we praying? Praying for that outpouring of the Holy Spirit, a multicultural Pentecost, where the results are that people of every nation are able to hear. Secondly, will you make a friend, just at least one friend, of another culture and religion? You're busy. I'm busy. We live an hour and a half from these communities, but I have that family that I'm especially working with. You can have that one individual at work, in your community, at your school. Will you train? We have an online training program. We'll share more about that today and on Sunday morning on how to specifically take a small group. It might be a Pathfinder group, a youth group. It might be a group of your friends online or in person, and begin going through the three levels that move you solidly into being that disciple maker, where you know how to make contacts and follow up on friendships, how to meet the refugees and tangibly help them, how to learn cross-cultural skills, what to say, what not to do, and how to effectively share with Buddhists and Muslims, as we'll talk about this afternoon, a short summary in our second session. And finally, to start an evangelistic discovery group in your home, in the park, in their home, where they can hear and understand about Jesus, because it's not so deep, so difficult, so different from what they're used to, just caring, loving in the home. And finally, would you be willing to support this kind of ministry, this work among refugees? If you want to, you can do that through ASAP Ministries with the designation Reach the World Next Door. There are envelopes at the back table that will enable you to do that. So there's that sheet. We're about to have a closing song, and I want you to be praying that prayer. Lord, what do you want me to do? Remember Philip. He was ready, and God did something special. He sent them right across the Ethiopian treasure's path, and he is ready to do it again. I want to finish with a short story, as the choristers are coming up, of what and how much God is willing. Like that story at the beginning about my May, I keep calling her May because my daughter-in-law is named May, very similar names. As we've worked among the Afghans for these last years, we kept saying, Lord, we're not going as deep as we want. We're not seeing a church plant yet. We can't speak their language. Won't you please send us a Seventh-day Adventist Afghani? The problem was, there are none in North America. There were none in North America. As we prayed, a month and a half later, I got a phone call from an Iranian who also speaks a similar language, Persian, Dari, Farsi. And he said, there's a Seventh-day Adventist family that's moved to Houston. What? I said, no way. How did this happen? What's going on? He said, back in Afghanistan, there was a man who crossed over to another country, learned the gospel from Seventh-day Adventists, returned to his country, and began an underground church. He was invited to flee the country 2 years ago when people were being helped to get out. And he said, cannot leave because I must share the gospel with the Taliban. Who else will do it? But two of his sons, watching their father's dedication, weren't quite sure they wanted to stay there, and found a way to get down to Brazil, and then traveled with their family, with a wife and two small little boys, all the way up across the Panama Canal, up sometimes walking, sometimes in boats, very difficult with little ones, with no diapers, and finally crossing from Mexico into California and asking for asylum, ending up in Houston, Texas. Where are they? I said, where are these people? I have to meet them. Oh, but we're leaving tomorrow on a mission trip. Okay, my friends will meet them. We got a number, we got a connection, and we got a text while we were over in Thailand of our friends who had gone there in Houston, Texas to meet this family who had come halfway around the world. Where were they? in the very apartment complex we've been working for 5 years. This is God's final day, and it is going to be so glorious as his Isaiah 58 people, his last day, Day of Atonement people, break the heavy yoke, share their bread with the hungry, and bring the stranger who has been cast out into their very hearts and homes. May God tell you what he needs you to do, whether it's surrendering some busyness, some habit, something that blocks, so that he can channel through you, or it's by deciding today one specific step to take forward. Please fill out that paper at the end of the song. We're going to ask you to pass it to the end of the aisles. We're going to collect that, and that will be our way to stay in touch and encourage you in your commitment to the Lord. I know it was not just a closing song. As you're singing it, you can hear those words pulling your heart. God is calling each of us. He needs everyone as part of his army. And you may have heard him calling you to do just that, to befriend one immigrant, one refugee, to share a card, to do some more prayer, whatever of those things. But there's two other things he may have been calling you to today. The first one is he may have been saying to you, I do need you overseas. I am sending you to one of those places because there are just 20 unreached people groups, maybe more. There's probably more different ones you watch and see, but there are more over there. There is greater poverty, desperate need around the world. And so I did not want to leave it. If the Lord is speaking to your heart, here am I. Go, send me. You're on your feet. You're ready to go. Say, Lord, show me. Talk to us about possibilities. We've had those who've done that. He may be calling you to radically make a change in work or church role so that you're free, like our friends the Puertos did at our home church, who looked at what we were doing with the refugees and said, we've got to do this, but we're so busy. We run the Pathfinder program. I'm the head deacon. I'm teaching the children's program. They're still doing most of that, but now they're also our leaders for our Pathfinder programs with the Afghani. And they have their children in tow, and those kids love Jesus more because of it. They sold their house, they're living in RV on our property. They made a huge commitment because the Lord told them to, and they responded. It's going to be different for each of you, but He does have His call. Continue to pray. If you don't know what it is yet, you have this afternoon for more ideas right here. Or if He calls you to a quiet place to wrestle with it because you really needed a rest, He can speak to you there too. Finally, I believe that there are some here today who have heard Him calling them to let Him be their Savior and their Lord. That's why Jesus went in there and cleared out the temple, was because He wanted them to know His grace was free, that Jesus had died on the cross for their salvation, and that they could come and know Him no matter what background they were coming from, what ethnicity, or what life of sin. So if that is what Jesus is calling you to today, just say to Him, please forgive me, have mercy on me, give me a new heart, and He will. And write it on the paper too, so that I can share that with those who are here at the church who can connect with you and help you to find that living relationship with Christ. Will you pray with me now and lift up to God in your own heart whatever it is that He has called you to do in following Jesus? Father in heaven, thank You so much for loving us to the point that You sent Jesus. But not just loving us, You love the world, every one of these precious people we've been talking about. So many of them have not had a chance, but You have promised it will not end like that. The glory of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And as that is true, You will be seen in all of Your beauty and Your glory as we feed the hungry who have nothing to eat today, as we set free the slaves who are bound today in our country and beyond, as we care for the stranger in our midst and welcome them into our hearts, our homes, our church programs, and beyond. We thank You, Lord, and now we lift up our own hearts, that temple which is so cluttered, which is so busy, which is often full of unholy thoughts and selfish ambition. Cleanse it clean, revive us, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Spirit that all nations may hear and this may become a house of prayer for all nations. Thank You, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.